This conference is being recorded.
All right. So I figured that out. Let's get started. So, Eddie, you have an update for us on the OSGI conference you went to.
Right. So I was in Zurich last Monday. So it was part of this Jazoon Java Developer Conference that was going on the whole week. And the first day it was it had different tutorials going on, like one for Glassfish and one for OSGI. So the OSGI was pretty well attended. There were, I think, far more speakers, presentations that were ultimately submitted than the organizers were expecting. So they ended up doing it as a dual track conference. And, you know, they had all the OSGI Alliance people there. People have been, you know, with this from the start, from the original spec 10 years ago. And a bunch of vendors who, you know, do OSGI consulting or products around OSGI. And there was some talk about what's coming up in the new specification later this year, and you know, a bunch of sort of presentations around people's experiences, you know, either working with certain aspects of OSGI, migrating to OSGI, or sort of exploratory efforts with sort of, I guess, or at least from my perspective, sort of edge case things to do with OSGI. So let me just find the note I had written here about what I was going to talk about. So as far as the sort of general approaches, well, okay. So first of all, whether or not we're going to, you know, do this and do anything with OSGI is obviously up for grabs. But if we're still going to go ahead with doing a prototype, I talked to Dave Flanders again, and he's still keen on, you know, scheduling something. And at this point, we were thinking maybe it makes sense to bring me and Aaron Zukowski out to Repository Fringe, which is happening in Edinburgh, I think at the end of the month. So we could hole up for a week and just hang out some code. And then as far as sort of the general, you know, first steps for doing that, I talked to some people at the conference, and, you know, I think we've heard this before, but it was just sort of nice to hear it from other parties as well, that the general strategy of trying to wrap the entire Fedora service as a single bundle and then working on modularizing it from there was what seemed to be the well-accepted sort of wisdom for how to do this, for how to migrate something to OSGI. And from other people I talked to, the general feeling was that this would probably be a fairly painful process. But the people were also very careful to point out that painful because it was going to basically draw out all the places where we've basically made sort of, you know, bad choices around dependencies between, you know, what are logically different, you know, modules of code. Some of this dependency stuff, you know, we'll at least hopefully get a good head start on ironing out with the Maven migration going on in parallel. But
that's certainly
in
true.
The end, yeah. So in the end, you know, the hope is obviously to reach that OSGI nirvana. The other thing that was sort of that I hadn't heard about until the conference, I don't know if you guys have, but I guess in Java 7, there's what's the JS? It's like JSR 294 or something. It's the Java modularity JSR.
Yeah.
So that's going forward. You know, there's going to be like a new module reserve keyword, and there's this Project Jigsaw. There's actually someone from Project Jigsaw at the conference in Zurich. And I think, you know, there was some sort of discussion or perception of, you know, are these actually supposed to be sort of competitive? Are they complementary? And from the OSGI Alliance perspective, and also from, I actually pulled the Jigsaw guy aside at one point, and the feeling there was that it's indeed a complementary set of technologies. I don't really know much about this JSR, so I mean, it was, like I said, it was new to me at the conference, but in case it had come up on anyone else's radar as something to sort of be concerned about as a choice at this point, it sounds like it's not necessarily, you know, something we need to worry about. And the other thing is, I mean, Java 7 isn't out there yet. I don't think we're going to migrate to something that's going to require Java 7 just to build either. I mean,
yeah, I mean, we're not even yet at a point where we're saying that we require Java 6.
Exactly.
Well, my thought on that is, I think it's great that the Sun is, you know, or I guess the Java leads are thinking of sort of taking on something OSGI-ish in the core. But I think it might be a difficult process given that OSGI kind of has been around for quite a while to actually be a separate technology.
There's actually some, I mean, I didn't get to follow up with what people were actually doing with this, but there's actually people who are apparently writing OSGI bundles in other languages. So I don't really know what the state of that is, but apparently that is going on, so that's kind of interesting and or cool for, you know, drawing in other sort of development efforts that are not, you know, Java-based. And that's obviously something that, you know, JSR 294 wouldn't be addressing. So, and then the other thing of, you know, us looking at using Spring DM. So we had some Spring Source people at the conference as well, and there was just sort of a general discussion of the different sort of strategies for doing dependency injection in OSGI. And so there's like this older declarative services model. There's this project iPojo. There's actually something called PeaBerry, which is based on Google Juice. And so I think, you know, my only concern, I think, with using sort of Spring DM as sort of the groundwork for doing our OSGI prototype was just getting too much into, you know, the Spring idiom and not really... I don't know, just not really doing pure OSGI, I guess, right? And then that causing problems for other people who wanted to maybe develop new bundles or understand what we were doing and, you know, who weren't necessarily wanting to deal with Spring. But as it turns out, for those of you guys who didn't know, because I didn't know this, there's a new OSGI blueprint service, which is an RFC 124, which is going to be part of the new 4.2 spec later this year, which is basically Spring DM. So that made me feel a lot more comfortable about using Spring DM from the outset at this point. And, you know, there'll be some changes, of course, by the time different services out there. But I think just as a general strategy, then I think going with Spring DM from the outset sounds like a good plan.
So, in other words, that's a sort of a blessing from the OSGI folks about Spring DM. I mean,
yes,
that's as much of a blessing as you can get.
So, what else was there that was sort of interesting? Oh, one other interesting thing which I also didn't know. There was a Maven developer was attending, and so as it turns out, Maven is actually moving to OSGI as well. So,
oh, really?
I think. Yeah, so that may happen by the end of the year at this point. And so there was actually a lot of talk too. There's actually, I mean, you know, it was interesting basically to have the Maven guy talking with the OSGI people because the Maven people have basically done or dealt with more the problem of, you know, the Maven repository and, you know, I'm dealing with the artifacts and all the metadata associated with the artifacts, trusting the artifacts, and so on and so forth, and to an extent that the OSGI folks have not. And so the OSGI Alliance is trying to figure out what's the right way to basically set up a bundle repository, set it up so that, you know, you have some sense of, you know, what bundles actually require what other bundles, right, and making sure that you've got the tested set that you can publish. I mean, it's basically very analogous to the Maven situation. Actually, the Maven guy threw out some cool numbers, which I actually don't recall the specifics of, but the cost of running their central Maven repository is pretty extravagant just in bandwidth costs. But anyway, let's see, what else is there? There were some interesting points people talked about as far as general problems that, you know, we would probably face. I think that a lot of people deal with when you know, building their apps with OSGI, where knowing when, it's like the problem of knowing, like in our case, when is Fedora started up? Because if you, you know, have built your system such that it's just a bunch of bundles and you can't really rely on any of them being available at any given time, and the fact that people may introduce their own bundles for their own services that, you know, they want to, for additional functionality in Fedora, and just how do you actually ever determine that you are ready to serve, basically. So it sounds like people haven't really come up with a best practice for solving that. Everyone seems to have their own little hacks around that. But, you know, I guess I figured that's something we can deal with when we get there. And
is there not generally the sort of core of whatever application is, you know, that gets run as, you know, as being considered the thing that gets started, and then, you know, more bundles get plugged in around that core? Or, you know, is it really?
But it's hard to say what's the core. I mean, we have a logical notion of what the core is, but that's not necessarily.
Well, I guess maybe you start with, you know, I mean, I guess you could start with what's the, if we think of Fedora as a bunch of modules, what's the absolutely most required module? And I mean, like, if you start from, gee, we need something to fulfill the capabilities of the REST API and the SOAP API, so probably something like, you know, APIM or whatever we call it, you know, the core Fedora API kind of needs to be there for anything really to work.
Yeah. Well, I do think, I mean, we'll have, I mean, if the OSGI spec doesn't eventually cover something to allow for this sort of, I mean, we'll have to give some thought to what it is, like someone who wants to write a bundle for Fedora and wants to basically, you know, include it as, you know, some sort of logical grouping, you know, like I mean, when we talk about, like, the, when we've talked in the past about the Fedora solution bundles or something, you know, like some interface or something that people can implement that'll, you know, do either some sort of notification or pull or who knows what, but just something so that there can be some sense of, you know, the set of services that you know beforehand are supposed to be, you know, there. But, I don't know. I mean, I didn't stress too much about it because it seems like there's a lot of ground to cover before we even get to that point. What else was there that was interesting? So there was some other stuff which I hadn't really thought about with OSGI, but there was actually a company that did a couple presentations. I met them actually before the conference started, and they're doing all the stuff around distributed OSGI bundles. And I guess there seems to be a lot of interest around this and how to do remoting, but it was sort of not in the scope of what I was thinking of for Fedora, certainly. You know, maybe that I think that's even actually part of this new spec to some extent that's coming out, something about the distributed service model, but I don't know that it's something we need to concern ourselves with now. It is just interesting that it will be there, and we can potentially think about ways in which, you know, that may let people do or develop other services with Fedora. I mean, maybe if we're doing, you know, some kind of federated application, but I don't really know enough about it to speak to it. I had a real problem, actually. I actually really wish that Aaron had been able to come to this, because trying to figure out which of the two track sessions to attend was kind of painful, and I was doing this thing of, like, cutting out halfway through one to make sure I wasn't missing out on too much in the other, and, you know, realizing, oh, okay, this is not what's interesting, and then back to the other. And unfortunately, not all of the presenters wanted to put their slides up anywhere either, so it's sort of a mishmash, so it's really... I think not, if you didn't attend, it's sort of hard to get a sense of everything that happened. But that's basically, you know, what I got out of going there. I mean, I feel pretty jazzed about
initial foray. I think we're losing you, Eddie. Going down. Sounds like it's getting better, maybe.
It's just really doesn't really breaking up. Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't know where I broke up for you guys, but I was saying I think I was saying you know, after
you're really jazzed.
Yeah, I was really jazzed to basically go ahead and, you know, do at least an initial foray.
Here we go again.
It seems like when you get down to the details, that's when it starts to break.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't hear what you said.
Oh. Shoot.
Something about seems like when I go...
Oh, get down to the details. It sounds like you're back. It sounds like you're saying that you're jazzed about the possibilities here with doing OSGI and Fedora?
Yeah, I think, I mean, people were there also trying to figure out, like the OSGI Alliance people are interested in figuring out how people can make money, basically, you know, doing bundles, right? And so it's interesting because, obviously, if you can figure out a way that makes sense, then all of a sudden you get vendors who are interested in it, too. And then, you know, once you get people with a profit motive developing stuff in your community, then, I mean, that's a pretty good ticket for ensuring, you know, it's long lifespan, basically. So I think, you know, from that angle of just getting the community not just to be sort of, you know, goodwill people who have some spare time or who's given...
Yeah, we don't like those goodwill people.
Right, well, you know, it's sort of relying on the goodwill of others is great when it's there, and the problem is you just can't rely on it. You know, so anyway, it was... And the other thing that's cool is that, I mean, there's this... It's just a very big community of people doing OSGI bundles. You know, I mean, it was weird being, like, okay, so I had this weird feeling being at this conference, and I realized it's been the first time I've been at this conference in a long, long time where people, A, don't know what Fedora is, and B, like, don't know who I am. And, you know, like we were totally on the fringe of this conference.
Can you guys hear this? Yeah. Sorry, Eddie. You're breaking up again, though.
So crappy. Hold on.
Okay.
Find something else to talk with. Maybe it's my headset and not the phone, since I'm actually talking to my normal phone.
Well, that's how your sound's better.
Turn in okay now for some reason. It could be if you're... Sometimes when you're further away... I've heard
sitting
break.
Hold on. Give me 1 second here. Let me try switching to a different headset, see if that makes any difference.
Sounds pretty good right now.
All right. Well, then fine. I'll keep talking. So, it's just there's just such a bigger community of developers that are just doing OSGI and who are spending a lot of effort in this, making a lot of effort in this framework. That's not just this tiny little repository sort of community that we're in, and the even smaller Fedora community within that. What I was saying at the beginning was it was kind of a weird feeling being at a conference where no one knew what Fedora was. Everyone thought, you mean Red Hat? And then one guy knew what DSpace was. Actually, it was the Jigsaw guy who knew what DSpace was. And, it was just, I think it would be great for us to, sort of be in a situation where we can be part of a larger community. And, there were a lot of projects who were basically starting to move to building OSGI. So, the Jonas app server is going there. There are JCR, the Java Content Repositories that are, being built with OSGI. So a lot of the stuff that we're talking about doing that sort of, either this app server or JCR sort of basis, you could see integrating a lot better, right? You could conceive of the set of Fedora bundles that you could basically build into drop into an existing JCR implementation then that was also built with OSGI. Or using the bundles, from there that, do cool things like, I guess we may probably hit like the web dev integration before OSGI migration, even happens. But nevertheless, there are like all these other opportunities for using services that are being built well outside of our, enclosed little community.
Yeah. Well, it sounds cool, Eddie. Did you get a chance to do any hands-on OSGI work yet?
On my own, yeah, not as part of the conference. So I've just done the, little Spring VM Hello World-y type things. I haven't actually tried wrapping Fedora yet. So hopefully I'll have a chance. But
in terms of wrapping Fedora, do you think it makes, when I hear the phrase wrapping Fedora, is that all of, I'm just being naive here, but is that like all of Tomcat and everything, or is that?
No, just the war, just as a war.
Okay. So a war.
So I don't know how some of the pieces work because you'll need, from what I understand, the HTTP service bundle is kind of limited for what it provides, but apparently the PAX, there's this PAX project, which apparently has one that will do the trick. I don't know. I talked briefly to the developer, but I honestly didn't follow everything he was saying to me since it was really often OSGI land for me. But it sounds like there'll be some, ramp-up time. Just to even know what are sort of the service bundles that we'll need to actually be able to successfully even just wrap Fedora properly. But when I talk to people about just generally, they seem to think, at least our first step should be a pretty tractable problem. They were like, the rest of it just depends on the state of our code.
Yeah. So what was the date you said that you might be going to get with Aaron for?
Oh, let me set up real quick. It was, I think it's at the end of July. So Edinburgh, July 31st is the repository fringe. So I'd either go right before then or right after. I think we were originally talking about doing it still in July, so it might just be right before that. So I was Mark Leggett was originally talking about having me come out to Riri, but
are you gonna do that? Or
I'm not. I'm gonna. That sounds like there's enough travel to forecast without me going all the way to PEI. So, yeah, I'm going to stay here, which means I'll be able to also then potentially do this thing with Aaron that week prior. So, and I'd like to actually get started on it sooner. I mean, just, you know, to do some of the legwork. But then if Aaron and I can talk, you know, actually sit down and work on, like, some, you know, sort of reference service, say, that could actually be used between, you know, the hypothetical OSGI Fedora-based repository and the hypothetical, you know, OSGI-based DSpace repository. I think that's sort of the output that just is, you know, really interested in seeing, you know, something where, you know, developers in the from either community can put together a service that's useful for both.
So are you thinking you'll jump right into Spring VM and looking at that, or just try
to... Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I mean, you know, I tried doing the sort of straight OSGI, like, service, and, I mean, there is a fair amount of boilerplate to write, and, you know, I guess, A, what's the point? And
yeah.
B, like, you know, with sort of with Spring VM sort of, you know, having gotten the, what essentially, like Chris was saying, is the blessing. I don't see any problems using Spring VM from the get go, and then, you know, as far as it sort of also moves us towards potentially using not just Spring VM, but the actual Spring Core, you know, sort of that sort of helps push that along too for us. I think that's also good.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, anything else on that, Eddie? We can push on here to the next item.
Yeah, I think I think that's all I have to report. I mean, I guess I wanted to, you know, get a sense from people about sort of their enthusiasm for doing this. I mean, it sounded like, you know, generally we're all interested in some kind of improvement to our module framework.
Yeah. Well, speaking for me, which I'm pretty good at, I could say that I'm pretty excited about, you know, going kind of full speed ahead with this OSGI stuff. I think the things I'm starting to think about are, you know, how we kind of tactically put a plan together to accomplish this, and, you know, the note about, you know, what you heard again about wrapping Fedora as a whole first, and then maybe looking at individual pieces, you know, maybe I'm just starting to think, like, okay, let's maybe, you know, as a first step, then it sounds like as part of the Fedora build, we would have some step to actually wrap it, you know, based on some of the stuff that you learned in going through this process. But just trying to figure out, like, what are the steps to get us to where we want to go with this over a longer period of time. I mean, so I think it will take a while, but... you know, I'm always mindful with this stuff of, you know, always not getting too far away from trunk. And I think it's still achievable. I just, you know, I think we have to do a little thinking about
it's
how.
It's a good point you raise about, you know, sort of what would be the sort of tactical approach for this. I mean, I was thinking that, you know, so if we basically get Fedora as a single bundle running, at that point, the sort of further task of breaking things apart, I mean, that's the point at which it becomes, that's a pretty good, you know, logical point to start divvying up work to everyone who's interested, right? And so where we were not basically stepping on each other's toes, because in fact, if you are, that actually points to, you know, one of the dependency problems that needs to be resolved anyway. So that's fine. So... I think if we can just get to that point, then we'll be able to sort of gauge people's sort of time, resource, interest, and and actually start divvying stuff up in a way that hopefully will actually make good progress with.
Yeah. Seems like this plays in somewhat to the further work of breaking out into Maven projects. So that's something that is still to be done. And maybe if that breakout kind of makes sense in the OSGI divisions also, that would be nice. Otherwise, we'll probably have to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, there was actually one guy actually did have a presentation where he was talking about the sort of the actual breakout of your bundles and how they might map, say, to your Maven modules. And he made the point, which I guess was a good one. I mean, not like I can speak to it from experience, but that doing a one-to-one mapping, while that might look fine from, you know, a core developer perspective, is probably not the right mapping for your users, because they don't necessarily want to have this matrix of, you know, I just know I want this service, you know, that does this thing in Fedora, I don't need or want to see that I need, you know, this basically what basically to them would feel like sub-bundle, you know, A, B, and C, of which B might have its own three different implementations, and, you know, then also sets of versions that are compatible. And I mean, like, that you should really think about what it is that you're trying to expose at the end to sort of a consumer of the bundle. So I could see us having a more granular breakdown, maybe at the Maven module level. But even then, you could argue that maybe that also points to a place where you don't necessarily want so much granularity. I mean, I keep thinking of like the Kawari Mulgera thing, which I guess, you know, still arguably makes some sense. But, you know, from my perspective, the first time looking at that code base, I was just like, why?
There is definitely such a thing as getting a little too caught up in the modularity of it. I mean, you know, splitting it out so far that it takes people, you know, it takes a genius to figure out how to put it back together. So it's defining what those good clumpings are from a consumer perspective, it sounds like, versus, you know, necessarily creating sub-projects for every service definition you have, every implementation. But it seems like in the Maven world, you know, you pretty much have one thing that's built as the result of a project. I mean, one primary artifact, right?
Yeah, primary. But I think even what we're seeing right now is, and you do have sort of these secondary artifacts like the zip files and other jar files. Sorry.
Just trying to get a better understanding of, like, what zip files.
For example, let's say there's the installer project in our case, which itself doesn't. Well, it basically creates fedora-home.zip, and it also creates fedora-installer.jar.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes, you know, Fedora Home Zip inside of that installer jar, for example. And then also with the server project, server Maven project, it just has a build and it creates, you know, like all of its class files in server.jar, you know, just kind of like the basic artifact of all the class files. But also it creates the server web app, you know, which is, you know, like the, you know, the Fedora war file.
Yeah. And Maven gives you that sort of, you know, sidebar lingo of like assemblies and stuff to deal with some of this stuff too, which, right, I mean, I just remember
playing
with that one.
That's right.
Yeah, when you want to put out like the, your source zip or your whatever, zip and incidental jar or executables. And, but, it is actually, you do end up having a set of what are, what ultimately feel like, different artifacts being created out of Maven. So one interesting thing I did hear from the Maven people, which, you know, we should definitely, I don't know where we are with our own Maven repository, but, you know, there was definitely a lot of, make sure you, you know, it's insane not to have one, especially for your, you know, production needs. And B, I guess they're working on some way to do updates of metadata for artifacts without having to, you know, actually create a new artifact, right? Because usually, like, once you publish to Maven Central, that's it, right? And, like, you have this whole thing of people who've done stupid things with dependencies that shouldn't be there, or setting up transit dependencies that are causing you to pull in a bunch of stuff that you don't want, and you having to write all these, you know, excludes and stuff. So that may happen, which is kind of cool. I don't know if they'll actually also put out the ability to, what's it called? What is it when your security keys and revoke an artifact. So there was some talk about that. I didn't understand from the Maven guy if he meant that that was just something they're talking about or something they're actually doing. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting for our Maven project people.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris. Kind of going back to what you were saying a second ago, Chris, about when we start to plow forward with the OSGI, we don't want to stray too far away from trunk, and we need to have a plan. It seemed like kind of the way we organized, when we had the face-to-face meeting in Ithaca about planning out how we were to approach Maven. Maybe if we would do something similar with planning out the OSGI approach.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we should at least go back and look at what we had, because I think we kind of tried to follow that model in the later OSGI discussion, but, you know, based on this recommendation about wrapping the whole thing first as a first exercise, maybe we want to go back and see if the general strategy we talked about before of, you know, maybe splitting off pieces, whether that still makes sense or not, even after, you know, bundling the whole thing as one step. Because, you know, just thinking about how to get from point A to point B without creating too much fragmentation in the code base would be nice.
Yeah.
So is that something, I mean, it sounds like we would be better positioned to come up with that kind of strategy after this, after Eddie goes and kind of does some hands-on work with Aaron at this repository fringe thing.
Okay.
Maybe we should throw that in our list, at least for now, of our special topic meetings on OSGI strategy. Potentially actually have a whole discussion on that and really work it out with more current info.
That makes sense.
We'll be further along with the Maven transition also, which would be nice at that point.
Wait, say that again, Phil? I didn't catch that.
I just said we'll be further along with the transition to Maven also.
Oh.
At that point. Yeah, so I'm not sure if you guys noticed Graham's note on IRC, just noting that it would be insane not to push back to Maven Central.
That's fine, that's true, but I guess the point is that you should still have one locally under your control for your own developers where you can also have sort of, well, because the other thing is you have stuff in Maven Central that, again, like people who are just wrapping third-party stuff and, or you need to wrap stuff that's third-party and that you're not able to push to Maven Central since that's not yours,
right,
so to speak,
right?
Right? So, like, from a sort of reliability, durability, and, like, security aspect of your own product and build, like, I think, yeah, I mean, these were the Maven people saying that, too. So it's not like they're saying, don't use Maven Central, but they're just saying, you still have to have your, you should still have your own. I mean, if you're not just, like, some guy in a garage. I think we had at one point a discussion of Joe Developer in his garage. I'm wondering if he was related to Joe the Plumber. Anyway.
I hope not.
Okay, so I just added that as just detail under our list of potential special topic meetings, but we'll talk about that later in this meeting as, in terms of planning for when we have which, because we've got one coming up next week. We still have to decide on what the topic will be. I think we should go ahead and push forward with the other items so we can keep this under a couple hours. Andrew noticed last week that these meetings have been dragging on quite a bit. I think we should probably set some time limits. It's a good idea.
I like the way you're talking, Chris.
Yeah. So why don't we, for today, why don't we shoot for closing up by 11:30, and then maybe future meetings we can try to keep them down to the hour range. Does that sound good?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. So the other topic on the list for today, let's see. So people probably noticed that we did a Fedora 3.2.1 release yesterday. I'm just going to paste what we had on the agenda for this right here, but I can give a quick update on that one because the technical details on why it happened and everything are out there now, so people can kind of read up. But the basic gist of it was we decided that especially because Asker pointed out, you know, hey, this is actually a pretty big security issue. We decided early yesterday that, yeah, we better go ahead and push out another release and get a patch together for people so they can patch it up on their repositories. So we spent, Andrew, Bill, and I spent yesterday putting together a 3.2.1 release with this fairly small change, but pretty significant in terms of securing the repository. So basically what was happening was the normal expectation people have when setting up authentication on Fedora without authorization, meaning ZACML is disabled, is that somebody actually needs to fully authenticate before they can, you know, take an action. So it's kind of a rough form of authorization. But what was in fact happening in cases with the REST API was it was possible to actually carry out API M actions without fully authenticating first. So pretty big deal. And that's why we decided to kind of drop everything yesterday and push the release out. Any other details on that, Bill or Andrew, you want to point out?
Probably not, unless anyone has questions. It seems like it's detailed pretty well in the tracker and the release notes.
Well, just a quick question for the lazy then. Was this for all APIM operations via the REST API, or was it just for the create?
It was for any, really for any API operations going through the REST API, right? Is that right, Bill? I mean,
so as long as you had API. Let's see. If you had API A turned off, API A off, turned off, and so only API M off on, which is required, then anything that what you were doing through API M would be allowed without authentication. Yeah, and the reason
so it turns
was
out
the
oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so the reason was that the auth filter would require the authentication prompt. It would pass back a 401, but then it wasn't properly terminating the filter process. In other words, you know, it would just allow that request to continue into the code. Yeah, so I guess the note I added here onto the agenda item was, I'm not really sure, and Eddie, I assume you can answer this, the extent to which the Fezzle project is intending to take over the authn for Fedora. I mean, I know doing the exact whole policies on the back end is certainly part of it, but just want to get your take on the front end authn.
Eddie, you might be on mute. Okay. Correct.
How prescient you are, or anyway, not prescient, but anyway, yes, I was on mute there. Sorry. So yes, the Fezzle project is taking care of authn, all the authn being done at via Jazz. And notably, though, the thing that's actually not done yet is coverage for the new REST API. So it's on our slate, and it's last time we had a call about this was when I was the day I got to OAI 6, like 2 weeks ago. But at that point, it sounded like that work would start in the next. Probably from now, within the next week or so. So that's still part of the first deliverable, is obviously to cover the REST API. But yes, generally speaking, the authn stuff is something that Fezzle is doing.
Cool. And so it sounds like there's ongoing Fezzle work right now. I mean, there's enough funding for it to be in process.
Yeah, we're at 20K. Strongly committed, like everyone, I mean, people have actually made written commitments that there's 20K coming in. Just the other day at PASIG, I talked to Neil Jeffries from Oxford, and it looks like they're able to commit another 5K. I wouldn't write that. Well, I guess it's already recorded. Well, whatever. but anyway, so it sounds like they're interested in dropping in another 5K, and so that pretty much gets us to, we're almost basically there.
Great. So you have the guys, like, or you know, whoever's doing the actual work is there.
Yeah, they've actually been great just doing the work on the promise / assumption that we would figure out funding in parallel. So. Yeah, they weren't waiting to do any work pending funding, so that's all good. I think actually getting the deliverable will require, you know, funding, but...
Yeah. Great.
So, next item was we wanted to figure out what we're going to do for the special topic meeting next week. So we have a few candidates listed here. I'll paste it.
So I just wrote down kind of what started bubbling up last week when we started talking about it. And, did anybody have any further thoughts on this? I did, but just wanted to see if any of these particular topics jumped out at anybody as particularly interesting for discussion next week. I mean, we could. I
so
think
it seems like number
probably,
4 is pushed off till next month.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is it's probably best for us to wait on that one, and if you know, Andrew, I don't know how. Would you be close enough to give like a sort of hybrid code review update discussion on the migration to Maven?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm pushing to Trunk right now, or sort of pulling things together so it can go into Trunk. And yeah,
seems like that would. My thought was kind of that would be probably the most appropriate, just time-wise, given the fact that it's a bit of a prereq to actually start digging into the OSGI stuff wholeheartedly, and we've got some folks looking at, well, particularly Steve Bayless had the message, you know, that he was doing the Rails int work and is, you know, interested in figuring out how to integrate correctly with the Maven stuff, and that seems like a pretty timely discussion. So I guess I mentioned code review slash update on that, just as a general thing. I think I don't think it would be best for us to actually sit in that meeting and walk through, you know, lines of code. But
are there really a lot of code changes besides like adding
there's not too much code. I mean, I think I've only actually changed one class, sort of, you know, like any sort of real code besides just maybe changing a path here or there. Yeah, so it seemed like it'd be walking through the POMs and the structure.
Yeah. So do you think it would be best to, I mean, we could still probably use WebEx for that if we wanted to, like if you wanted to bring it up in presentation style or just, you know, before the discussion, you know, maybe have some sort of structure laid out on the wiki that we can follow or something.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable, and you know, maybe like 5 files that are attached, you know, can pull up it, you know, as we talk to it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like it might be nice just to be able to follow along, because I mean, with WebEx, yeah, or you know, if we wanted to try out DimDim or something, just. Because it seems like, you know, you might want to be moving around and clicking on things and kind of just, you know, showing, all right, you know, in this section we're doing, you know, this is how it's laid out, in this section this is how it's laid out. It just seems like the conversation might be a little bit more clear if you're able to kind of see what you're doing.
Have we tinkered around with like the Linux web sharing WebEx client?
Like
sharing the desktop, yeah.
Oh, I've had trouble on the WebEx side being a host of on Linux, but it's not a universal problem. Seems to just be a problem with my machines for whatever reason.
Yeah, so maybe we can play around with it a little bit, you know, like this week or something.
Yeah. Or you know, DimDim.
The one thing is, I definitely noticed was problems using Java 6. So there seem to be fewer problems getting everything to work with WebEx, just generally with Java 5, right? So
okay,
yeah.
That's a good tip.
Oh wait, Did I just get that reversed? Sorry, it was the other way around.
Everything I just said?
it's used Java 6, not Java 5. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
confused fine. Which way I was changing my environment for these conference calls.
Maybe we can... Eddie, you said you're going to be using DimDim tomorrow or something?
Yeah, I was going to use it tomorrow. So I'll definitely let you guys know how it worked out. And I might be actually using it again on Friday as well. So I might access two data points with two different sets of people.
Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like we're agreed on that.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool.
Yep.
Next topic. Boy, we're just speeding right along. Okay, so on the forum discussion, I don't know if everybody's been kind of up to date on this yet, but maybe Bill, if you want to give an overview on this, I'll paste your page you've been working on there.
Yeah, so... It's the top of the page. Kind of the goal here is that we're trying to figure out if there's a forum or message board that we can use that would be a replacement for the existing user and developer email lists, and also potentially allowing us to do announcements and just have general discussions. The goal being that a lot of the discussion on a mailing list at the moment are primarily focused towards question answer kind of interactions. So it seems like a forum or a message board would be ideal for that kind of activity. So I tried to capture from our last meeting some of the requirements that were brought up and just split them into a few different categories. The must-haves, things that we think are really important, the nice-to-haves, which would be nice if whatever software we choose happens to support it. And then some things we specifically noted are not really necessary. I mean, if software supports it, that's great, but it won't be a deciding factor. And then some of the options that we've started looking at, the first one being the community bubbles plugin for Confluence, and seems like the main thing that this fails at is looking and working like a forum as people would expect. It seems like the top page kind of works, it looks a little bit like a forum, but once you get into the actual discussions, it tends to devolve into just looking like a wiki. So I think we said last week that that's probably not our best choice. And then I set up a forum motion wiki, a forum motion forum, and then pushed it using an iframe tag into the wiki just for experimentation. And this seems to cover a lot of the things that we need. And it happens to use PHP BB version 3 behind the scenes. So this is kind of a looking at it both for actually considering the use of the hosted forum from Forum Motion, but also considering whether PHP BB would potentially solve the problem if we hosted it ourselves. So a couple of the problems that I saw with Forum Motion are that the search doesn't appear to search into the contents of posts. It only seems to search the thread topics, which is somewhat helpful, but probably not far as we'd like to see. It does, like I said, it does a lot of things, but the kind of a major drawback is that they don't provide any way for us to do backups of the content. And it's kind of specifically spelled out, like this, the database that holds all this stuff is something that they seem to hold on to pretty tightly. And that seems to be the way it is just in general across hosted forums, at least that I've seen. I've looked at two or three of them now. It's kind of a major drawback to the hosted forum, whereas obviously not having to do all the hosting and administration of the server and all that is a big plus. So I haven't actually installed PHPBB myself, but since it's the back end for ForumOtion, we know it does, at least the majority of things we need to do. And obviously, if we're hosting it, we'd be able to do our own backups. And I assume we'd be able to, hook in our own search engine and set it up to, to index whatever we want, so that wouldn't be an issue. And it seems like it's pretty widely known and used, and has a lot of plugins and that sort of thing. So right now, it seems like a pretty solid candidate. And then last week I mentioned JForum, which the software looks pretty good, but it's kind of in question about how much support that project has going forward. So that one kind of dropped off of the possibility list, I think.
Actually, the ForumOtion, it's not coming up for me. Is it you guys? The Fedora Commons ForumOtion, it's been spinning for the last 5 minutes.
Oh, really? Yeah, I just brought it up without any problem.
Oh, really?
It came up okay for me.
You're refreshed, maybe? Or
I'm refreshing right now. That's fine. If it worked for you guys, that's fine.
So a couple things I added on here since last week. One is the chat box, which is kind of interesting. I don't know if anyone else happens to be on there, but it kind of has an IRC-ish kind of feel to it, which is interesting. Where you can, so at the on the main page down at the bottom. So we could potentially have some discussions on there.
If people are
logged into it. So you have to click log in. Just kind of interesting. And then there's along with the announcements board, there's also a way to post announcements that scroll along the top.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess there's just some... Go ahead, Eddie.
How much consideration did you guys give to Google Groups? I mean, I know it's not a web forum, per se, but...
Yeah, I think we did kind of talk about that early on as... I mean, it would be great as a mailing list replacement. I think it's better than, what we've got with SourceForge. I think this whole discussion was kind of spurred by the fact that Kai pointed out that a lot of the things that we talk about or that get discussed on the mailing list are really question-answer type things, and we started getting into, having the ability to go back and, potentially mark a thread or change the thread title as, resolved or something, gives people a bit more of a QA type feel for the support questions. I think
think we noted that also Google Groups, in order to, I think there was something about RSS feeds of Google Groups that we talked about early on, but now I can't remember. Yeah, Google Groups do have RSS feeds, so people can subscribe that way. But that's actually an interesting consideration for PHPBB too, or any other
So Graham was noting on the IRC that you might want to consider the Fireboard forum that DSpace is using. I know one thing we talked about is our need to decide on either Joomla or Plone as our website technology. So it seems like if we go the Plone route, then Fireboard is pretty much out. But if we go the Joomla route, then it might be something to consider a little bit more strongly. But I haven't really looked at it to know really all of its features or anything.
Sounds like it's not, the Joomla one might have some issues with it based on Graham's statement there.
Yeah.
Very subtly implied.
Seems that way. Yeah, so I guess it comes down to, if we want a hosted forum, we're going to have to deal with the fact that there are some limitations on what we can do with it. Versus, if we want to have all the features we want, it pretty much has to be something that we host ourselves. Yeah, and it may be that we can get the OSL folks to help with some of that administration. Anyway, so if anyone else has thoughts for other options, feel free to throw them up on the wiki.
Yeah. Thanks for starting that as a wiki page too, Bill. It's helpful to have that little starting point for more discussion.
Am I right to understand that, so I think it was Bill, you were saying something about ultimately making the decision about Plone or Joomla, but so is that supposed to mean that the Plone migration that we just did is potentially something that we back away from?
Well, so I guess the discussion was that it doesn't really make sense for Fedora to and for DSpace to have separate web technologies that for storing all the content for the websites.
Sorry, I feel like I need to send a note of sympathy to Rick or something right now.
I had the same thought when the discussion came up, but it seems like that decision is kind of in process.
Well, it's the data we care about. Software is transient.
That's right.
It comes and goes. Maybe in the course of a week.
Well, that certainly actually should be a consideration with whatever forum software we go with, right? As far as being able to pull stuff out. I mean, if you have this scenario where, for instance, like DSpace is sounds like at least Graham would be all for, you know, ditching the Joomla, whatever the forum software they're using is, and, you know, wanting to go somewhere else. And obviously you want to be able to migrate that stuff in a fairly tractable way. So, I mean, I'm assuming enough people use PHPBB that, like, people have written stuff if PHPBB doesn't already have it for getting stuff out and moving somewhere else. Although it's probably more like so many people are using PHPDB that there's probably stuff from getting into it from other places. But
yeah, well, I know that I'm looking at some other forum software that there are scripts written to get stuff out of PHPDB into whatever other software it is, just because PHPDB is so well known and used so widely. So even if it's something that's not written by PHPBB, it might still be a conversion tool available to whatever thing we want to move to.
So what about, isn't there like a Drupal groups component as well? I don't know if anyone played with that. I think I saw that a long time ago. I guess I'm thinking of that just from the, you know, from the, I mean, if the phone move is already up for discussion, I mean, might as well throw Drupal back in the mix, especially with the PEI doing the Drupal Fedora integration, and that kind of gives us that eat your own dog food sort of ability again.
Yeah, I don't think that it doesn't seem like there was a consideration of moving to something other than either Clone or Joomla.
Oh, okay. All right, well.
Because, I mean, there has been a lot of work that went into both, so it doesn't seem like doing the work over for both of them is pretty ideal.
Okay. That's. I actually talked to someone at OAI6 who said a long time, like years ago, they actually did a Clone Fedora integration. So I have a link for that. I don't know. I actually hadn't heard that someone had actually successfully really done something with that. I just remember hearing people were talking about it. And I know Rick was, or the Lab of O was talking about it, but I never remember them doing something that would have been released. But anyway, it sounds like this project in Germany actually did something in Europe around it.
So it's probably pre-Fedora 2.2? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it would be a non-trivial thing to resurrect or something. But
yeah, I was just wondering if it would be appropriate for the software registry, but it sounds like it's old enough that probably not.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we got
another thing.
Minutes.
Oh yeah. Please continue.
See, Andrew, I'm trying.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. Can we? All we've got is the issues left. But was there any last words on the forum discussion? Just keep looking at these, but at some point it probably makes sense to set up a local PHPBB too, just to kind of play with, see if like the search works better.
Yeah, and I get the impression that it's going to take some time to set up and get all the plugins appropriate that you want and get that all configured properly, so it's going to take some time.
So it looks like, I mean, clearly Graham's over here wishing that he were calling in. How are you calling in, Eddie, that other overseas folks are unable to?
I'm paying for a monthly phone plan that lets me call US inclusive.
So Ugu has audio conferencing, global dial numbers. And we could also add those for this free conference call thing, too. I was just kind of taking it for a test drive, but...
So, Eddie, like we haven't had the problem with your voice dropping out. Just wondering if you changed your mic or nothing changed?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was surprised it was causing problems because, you know, like, I am actually dialing from my cell phone, so it shouldn't be, you know, any, like, wonkiness with network bandwidth utilization or something like that. So I don't know if it was just, yeah, I don't know what it was.
Okay, we got 5 minutes. Move right along. So the next one was just our regular of checking out newly submitted issues. I'm going to go grab the URL for that. I think we've only got a couple that are new as of this week. Pull them up here. So it's the
oops, never mind.
All right, I just pasted it. So we did get an update on FC repo 494 last week. So the original submitter came back with some more details on reproducing it. It looks like it is provoked, or he's been able to provoke it solely via the old Fedora admin GUI. So that makes me feel a little better about its potential impact. You know, being potentially a client issue, or maybe the client's keeping the connection hung, and that's what's causing the database connections to be outstanding. So that still needs to be duplicated, but I think we're in a little better position now to do it. It was a little bit in the dark earlier.
Is this really a critical issue?
No, I don't think so now. So I am gonna go ahead and open it. Well, let me keep it in the same state, but till I can reproduce it. But I will go ahead and put it down to the major level. I think that's fair. We'll see once it's reproduced. That'll be a little more important of a field. And the last one was something I think, Bill, you had sent in, FC repo 599, or 509.
Yeah, so while looking into FC repo 510, which is the one we just did the release for, I noticed that the action when doing a post and including a PID in the URL, that should take that PID and use that as the PID for the object if the object doesn't include a PID in the Foxmul. And it's not doing that. It's looking for the PID in the Foxmul and not finding it and just throwing an error.
Okay. So the PID... what should happen is the PID provided as part of the REST request should be used in the object's PID upon request. So basically in the case where it's not included in the Foxmul, but it is
right.
Included in the URL. Yeah. Makes sense. All right. I think it's definitely openable. So I just opened it. It makes me wonder what happens in other cases, though, like what if it's specified in the URL and specified in the FoxMul, but it conflicts?
The one in the, well, obviously the one right now in the URL gets thrown away.
Yeah.
And it seems like that should be the case. Like, take the thing in the FoxMul. But I guess that's up for debate.
Yeah. As long as we can document it, I think, just give people an idea. Yeah, I could see it going either way.
Yeah, I can imagine where people are sort of, you know, reusing FoxMul, right? And so...
with a PID in it?
Yeah, just because the PID happened to be in there, because that's what they got from another source. But they're making the... programmatically, they're making the request. Well, you know, I'm expecting that. But I can definitely see the argument going either way on that one, too. So... we should just...
or throwing an error. Could say conflict.
Yeah.
I think we
well,
should
I can see the convenience. Oh, sorry, what was that?
I said we should just create an object for both.
Yeah.
Or make up a new
don't tell anybody.
Concatenate the kids.
Well, is it, I don't know, can we make a decision now on it? Is it kind of an either-or thing? Like, okay, what if we just say what Eddie said first, which was what's provided in the URL is always the authoritative one. And that gives people a convenient way to reuse objects that, you know, they don't otherwise have to muck with the XML in order to change it. You know. As long
except
as
that a tie would never work that well anyway. As soon as you have a Rails X, it's not gonna work. Right?
Yeah, that's true. So it's really not that convenient. So the reverse
it's not convenient.
If it's provided in the FoxMul and somebody specifies it in the URL differently, then it doesn't seem like there would ever be a reasonable case to do that unless it was error, like developer error.
Unintentional.
I mean, yeah. Can you post, is it possible to post without specifying a PID in the URL?
Yeah, if instead of saying PID, you say new.
Okay.
As the URL, then it'll just look for it in the FoxMul. Or if there's no FoxMul, it'll just create a new object.
So I propose if they conflict, it's an error. Anybody want to second that for me?
I like the idea.
All right. I just added that as a comment to the issue. Okay. Looks like we're 3 minutes over. Sorry, Andrew.
Hey, that's cool. It's cool. That's not 3 hours.
That's right. That's getting better. Okay, well, any parting words before we...
I'm going to be doing a medium-sized push to trunk here shortly with the Maven stuff, just to F everyone's eye.
Okay.
So I'm just going to note that today is technically my final day with Fedora Commons. So...
Here's to you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll shed a tear. No, obviously, it's going to be quite involved.
Yeah,
good thing we had this call today and not tomorrow.
That's right.
Well, I raised a glass
I'll
to you
still be
on the IRC.
All right.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye, all.
Yeah, bye, all.
Goodbye. Bye.